Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Today is a day about endings. Today, both at 10 o'clock and after this service, a spinal surgeon by the name of Dr. Mary Neal is talking about what happened to her when her life ended, what she saw and what she experienced. Today is also the end of the Christian year. Next Sunday begins the season of Advent, those 4 weeks that precede Christmas. And through the centuries, the church has called this last Sunday of the year Christ the King Sunday. Because in all the gospel passages, we always read about Jesus telling us about what the end will be like and telling us that he, as king, will be seated on a throne, and that people will come to him, all souls will come to him, but he will separate them like sheep from goats. The king will separate them, and some of them will enter into his life, and some of them will go away into the outer darkness. We're talking about the end of our lives and the end of time itself, if there is in fact a difference. But in order to understand what Jesus is telling us about the end, we need to understand a few of the words that he used that would have made so much sense to the people of his time. For example, sheep and goats. I always feel so bad for the goats. What's wrong with a goat? They don't seem particularly evil creatures to me. But Jesus was talking about a fundamental difference in the nature of those two creatures, the sheep and the goats. You see, most of the people of the Galilee would know that sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. They tend to travel in flocks and follow that shepherd, whereas goats are wanderers. Goats go their own way. That's why you and I have probably seen at least pictures of the mountain goat, you know, up there by himself. Jesus was talking about our relationship with him, whether we will follow him when he speaks. We also no longer understand the concept of king. What does a king mean to an American? We don't want a king. That would be going back to some archaic form of government in which we have no say, right? When we think of monarchy today, I think of, well, Britain, and I like William and Kate, and they're really handsome, and I like to see them on the cover of People magazine, but do they have any power? No. They're more like celebrities, right? Or we think of some lands that still have monarchies as being kind of backward. Or maybe the best image we have today is the Magic Kingdom. We could all be kings and queens in the happily ever after. But that was not what Jesus was talking about. The Jews of Jesus' time hoped for, yearned for, longed for a king. It was the highest form of government they could possibly imagine. It was more than about government. It was about peace. It was about harmony in our relationship with God. To have a good king for the people of Jesus's time would be to hearken back to King David, the golden age, when Christ said that he was the king. They would have felt this great sense of relief. For a king who is good would be wise and would know how to make decisions, would take care of us. This would not have been an oppressive notion, this kingship. It would have been a glorious relief. But we Americans think of kings as ruling over us, and we want to make our own decisions, right? Because we know almost everything, and if we don't know it, we can go out and find it on the internet, right? We are the authority. We get to vote, we fill out the surveys, we determine our government. Why shouldn't we determine our own salvation? Why aren't we the king? My oldest son, Luke, who's now 16, had a conversation a few weeks ago with another boy who's decided that he's an agnostic. And Luke was curious about this. So he asked the kid, well, tell me why. Why have you decided to be an agnostic? And this kid said, well, I see people suffering in the world and I don't like it. And I don't believe in a God who would do that. Luke called me later in the afternoon and said, Mom, it was weird. It was like he was the consumer and God was either a website or a channel. And if he didn't like what God was doing, he would switch it off. You know, like you could go from being believer to agnostic to atheist, depending on whether you approved of God's behavior. Like it was up to him. He was the consumer of his faith. Well, who's the king there? We think that we know so much that we can make our own decisions, but really, if you really read the great scientists of today, the people who are focusing on quantum mechanics, you know, the really smart people, they're telling us that they don't know very much. That the more they learn, the workings of the universe become more of a mystery. In fact, you might say that the people who admit to not knowing much are the ones who are truly wise. But no, we think we know how God ought to act, and so we can decide whether we believe or whether God exists for us. We also, particularly Episcopalians, we want to have a certain kind of salvation, right? I mean, we want pretty much everyone to go to heaven except for the one guy we hate. I have never been to an Episcopal funeral where they talked about someone going to hell. Now that would be awful. But are we so sure that everybody who dies is going to heaven? Is that our call? To say that everyone goes to heaven is in fact making ourselves the king again, isn't it? It's quite arrogant. It's really not any different from saying, well, people of my tradition are going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell. Not only is it arrogant, but it leads to violence. Jesus is very clear with us about who sits on the throne, about who makes that call, and it's not me, and it's not even the bishop. And it's not you. It's Christ who is the king. I was driving in San Marco just a few days ago, and in my usual way, I'd gotten really busy, and the phone was ringing, and I needed to make an appointment, and I was picking up my cell phone, and I was driving right near Hendricks Avenue Church. I mean, Hendricks Avenue School, the public school. Here I am on my phone, kind of frazzled, and this little woman who was a crossing guard in her orange vest starts blowing on her whistle like you would not believe, and waving her arm, and she runs out in the street, pointing her finger and waving her arm at me, and I realize I'm going way too fast. And school is about to let out. Oh, forgive me. And I slow way down, like I'm barely moving. And I look at her as if to say, I am so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I forgot what was important. And she smiled at me. This little bit of a woman with all that fire. She woke me up. And I'll tell you, this gospel is a whistleblower. It's a wake-up gospel. And it may surprise you in the Episcopal Church to hear it, but your salvation is up to God, and it is not something to take for granted. And what Jesus is telling us is that the people who come to him are the ones who know him. It's about recognition. It's about relationship. If you spend your life doing what you feel like doing, and you do not serve others, and you do not try to follow God's will instead of yours, let's just say it's not up to me what happens. This gospel is meant to shake you up, to scare you. Because every moment of your life is precious. And it's time to say, now thy will be done. Dr. Neal tells us that at the moment she was dying, that's what she said. Thy will be done, not mine. I'm not the king. You, O Lord, O Christ, I belong to you. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy, or the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
For this community, for my family.
Lord, in your mercy, bless and comfort those who are sick, lonely, or grieving. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
We pray for the victims of this week's shooting at Florida State University, for students, faculty, and staff, and for the family of Myron May.
Lord, in your mercy, embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak their names aloud.
For Nathaniel Davis, for Peter Kassig, who was beheaded by ISIS militants last week, for peace in the Middle East.
Lord, in your mercy,
we
pray for the church throughout the world, especially John, Charles, and Dorsey, our bishops, Catherine, our presiding bishop, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, and for the ministries of this cathedral. Help us to grow in our love for you and for others here in the urban core. Lord, in your mercy, help the nations of the earth to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for Ukraine, Nigeria, China, North Korea, and all the countries of the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy.
Almighty God, help us to know and love you as our King, that you may rule in our hearts and in our lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, welcome, everyone. We are so glad you're here. If you're new to our congregation and would like more information about the cathedral, raise your hand and a greeter will come and give you an information bag, a gift. But you have to hold your hand up so we can find you. We're so glad all of you are here today. There are also newcomer cards that are found in your pew racks. And if you fill those out, we'll send you our e-newsletter. Speaking of e-news, we do have an online directory, so go onto the website. You can put your own picture, the one that you like of yourself, in the directory now. You can also get an app for your iPhone so that you can look up everybody else in the church, and it is a secure site. You can also look up your own giving statements. It's wonderful. You can even get directions to each other's houses. Cool. Oh, somebody groaned over there. As I mentioned in the sermon, Dr. Mary Neal, the spinal surgeon and the author of To Heaven and Back, is here at the cathedral to speak after this service. We have determined that we need to have her in here because so many want to hear her, and I want you to hear well. So this is what we're going to do. After worship, we will give you some time to get up, go to the bathroom, get something to eat. Dear Joan Haskell has run and bought a lot of food, so we're going to have a lot of food out there. Take your time, get comfortable, and then come back. And Dr. Neal is going to talk after the service, but we'll give a good 10 or 15 minutes for those who want to return to hear her here in the sanctuary. Also this evening, St. Andrew's Evensong at 5 o'clock. Beautiful evensong with our choir. If you are someone who is going to be alone at Thanksgiving, come to the church and have Thanksgiving with your church family. We don't want anyone to be alone on that holiday, so we have a service here at 10:30, followed by a big lunch. We provide all the meat. People bring desserts and side dishes. It's kind of loaves and fishes, and maybe $5 to help pay for the cost. And we just have a wonderful time. We've had about 100 folks for the past few years, so please do come. We don't want people to be alone or lonely. As I mentioned, next Sunday, beginning of the Christian year, first Sunday of Advent, we will be making Christmas Advent wreaths and having a lot of fun. There will be no Sunday school classes because we'll be doing that craft, and we'll have an alternative gifts market, so you can do some of your Christmas shopping, but do some good as you shop. And our children's Christmas pageant is coming up, so kids, get ready. That's the final Sunday of Advent at 9 o'clock. We'll be casting all ages. From little guys, we cast them as sheep, but now I'm wondering if they should be goats because they wander. That's a lot of fun at 9 o'clock on the 21st. You will see if they're offering a lot of bags coming up. A Brotherhood of St. Andrew and some others have gathered a lot of food for St. Mary's, and we'll be blessing them at the altar. And now, finally, for years I have prayed that we would have an order of prayer and service for men here at the church. We have had one for women for a very long time called the Daughters of the King. But now, thanks to many people, we are establishing the Brotherhood of St. Andrew. And we are going to induct our brothers into the order. We have representatives here from Gainesville and what's the other city? Atlanta, who are part of this order of prayer and service. So come forward. This order is open to all men, and they gather every other week and pray together, and then they do acts of service here in the church.
The Brotherhood of St. Andrew is named for St. Andrew, who, according to John's Gospel, after meeting Jesus, went to find his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Then he took Simon to Jesus. Emulating the act of Andrew, the first brothers of St. Andrew reached out to men in rooming houses, giving them Bibles and inviting them to come to church to hear for themselves the witness of Scripture to God's love and his Son Jesus. They brought people to be baptized and confirmed in the church. The Brotherhood grew and became international in scope. I recommend that you receive these candidates officially in the Brotherhood of St. Andrew.
Thank you, Billy. The Brotherhood of St. Andrew is a ministry to men and boys dedicated to the spread of Christ's kingdom here on earth by means of regular prayer, study, and personal service. Do you desire to become members of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew?
I do.
Do you acknowledge and reaffirm the promise and vows made at your baptism that you will pledge you to love and help your neighbor in the name of Jesus Christ until your life's end?
I do.
Will you work faithfully to fulfill the objectives and the disciplines of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew? I receive and admit each of you into the fellowship of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew. May God give you the grace to follow the example of St. Andrew, whose name we bear, in bringing many to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Wear your emblem symbolizing the cross of St. Andrew, and see to it that what you have promised with your lips, you perform in your life daily to the glory of God.
Almighty God, bless these, our servants, who have signified their purpose to faithfully serve as members of this chapter of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew. Grant them in their ministry and vocation the power and courage to devotedly and truly serve in the extension of your kingdom here on earth through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God.
Congratulations. I'm so glad you're here. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in Jesus Christ, your incarnate Word, you have given us a Lord and King to follow and obey. By his own example of love and service, we are taught to love and serve one another. And in so doing, we give honor to him and to you, the God and Father of all. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all. presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one body.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.